Good morning, everyone. It's really great to be able to be back. And thank you, Evan, for opening us up. As Evan expressed, I hope everyone is warm and safe. And we thank you for your flexibility in changes that we make in service. We're going to do things a little bit differently today. We'll have our worship singing at the end, following the message. So let's go ahead and jump right in. We've been asking some big questions, important questions, at the start of this new year. And this morning, we want to ask the big question, what is your treasure? What is your treasure? And that's going to come from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Luke 12, 13 to 21. And if you want to follow along on your screens or with your open Bibles, I'll go ahead and read that for us. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This is God's word. We want to look at Luke 12 as we explore this question in the early part of this year. What is your treasure? We're looking at this parable because it starts us off thinking about the topic of money, which Jesus talked the most about, actually. But I want to use it as a springboard for us to really have a time for us to take a deep look within our own hearts with regards to this question, what is your treasure? Here we have a man who is very shrewd, has been abundantly blessed, has accumulated wealth and goods and resources. And I want to start off by saying there's nothing wrong with that. It is not a sin. It's not evil. It's okay. But when we look, starting in verse 17, this is where we begin to see the dynamics of the human heart take place. What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. I will do this. I will tear down my barns, build. I will store up all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. James Edward, thinking about this man, says this. This man was a fool, not because he sought wealth, but because he imagined that wealth consisted in things, and that things rather than God could satisfy his life. Things rather than God could satisfy his life. In other words, what James Edwards is saying is that this man treasured his wealth in a way that became a substitute for God. The wealth itself was not evil. His investment tried to not just accumulate it, but save it for the future was not a bad thing. He was a savvy guy. But it was a fact that this wealth became the very treasure of his heart. This treasure, in a culture that valued relationships and community and interconnectedness, would isolate him. The word I is what we kept on hearing. It would put him into self-exile, make him utterly alone, and would erode his trust in other human beings. He would devalue relationships because of this particular treasure in his life. And so this morning, I want us to take a step back as we think about the word treasure. And I would like to define it this way. Our treasure not only makes our heart happy, but when we have it, it makes us feel secure, valuable, and special. Treasure provides the measure of our self-worth. How's that for an understanding of treasure? And as we reflect back on two difficult years of this pandemic, I think the bright side of what we went through together these past 2 years is that the pandemic, I believe, for better or for worse, has profoundly revealed what the treasure or treasures of your heart really is. What has been your treasure during these past 2 years? When our very lives are put at risk, our very persons are in jeopardy, when the lives of our children, spouses, family, grandparents, grandchildren are being threatened by some invisible virus, you quickly take stock of the inventory of your lives. And I believe what has happened, you may not like me for saying this, but we, in this kind of tension and situation, we begin to cut out things out of our lives that really are not treasured. And so the gift of the pandemic is it has revealed what the treasures of our lives and our hearts have really been. And my question this morning is, I reflect, as you reflect, as we reflect together as a church family, what has been your treasure during this pandemic? I believe this is a big deal, and this is a very important question for us to reflect on this morning. This is a big deal because when we ask the question, what is your treasure? It reveals not only where our hearts and what our hearts are set on, but we realize that whatever our treasure is, a treasure has power to transform us into its own image, for better or for worse. That's why at the start of this year, we are asking ourselves this question, What is your treasure? I think we could find this illustrated in Lord of the Rings, in what Gollum calls my precious. The one ring to rule them all. The magical, powerful ring that has power to make its wearer invisible, whose power is absolutely intoxicating. It grants its owner the promise of a long life, and yet it begins to take control and transforms the wearer into its own image by its power. For those of us that have watched this, who've read it, think about those two words, my precious. My precious. You see, whatever is your treasure, it will eventually control you. It will transform you into its image. It doesn't have to be something that is overtly evil or sinful or destructive. They can be good things that come out of the blessing of our lives. But when we make it our heart's treasure, and when it fails to fulfill us with the expectations we put on it, and it comes short and it fails us, it will turn around and it will crush us. It will destroy us, even good things. What has been your treasure during a time of a pandemic that we have basically cut out things that we don't really treasure, and what's left reveals what our hearts have been set on as our treasure. After a very intense week in Chicago last week, as I served on a ministry board to help minister to other pastors in our denomination, it was a wonderful week, very intense week. I had to quickly get back and begin to prepare an annual report that many of our ministry leaders are quickly trying to get done so that we can prepare for our beginning of the year annual meeting for our church. It didn't really hit me how intense these past 2 years have been. We have been basically in a two-year pressure cooker of being in a crisis mode. And we just kept going and going and going. After getting back from Chicago, and I couldn't even remember what I exactly had to write for my report for our upcoming annual meeting. And so I dug up the past several years of annual reports to jog my memory back into what I'm supposed to write. As I did that, I came across our numbers and our status as a church and our ministries. And prior to the pandemic, I was reminded that in many ways, from some metrics, we're doing quite well. When the pandemic hit, everything took a tumble. And for some reason, as I sat in my office at church looking at the past couple of years prior to the pandemic and then where we are at 2 years later after the start of the pandemic, I began to not just become saddened, but I became very discouraged. I began to have a pity party. I got upset. I got angry. I started to go down to a place that was not very healthy emotionally and began to feel sorry for myself. Things were looking so strong before the pandemic. We had hundreds of people coming. We were getting ready to advance God's mission at Trinity. And look what happened now to our church after 2 years of this crazy, terrible pandemic. I don't deserve this. Our church doesn't deserve this, is where my mind started to go and my emotions. And as I took a step back and I had to prepare this sermon, this question grabbed my own heart. Peter, what is the treasure of your heart? And when I saw what looking at where Trinity was prior to the pandemic and how I went down a very negative and discouraging path in my mind, I realized that Trinity being a successful church was my heart treasure. And if I could even clarify, being a pastor and leader of a church that is thriving and growing and getting recognition is where my heart was really at. Ministry success, to be admired by my peers and get that kind of recognition. As I really began to ask, what is my heart's treasure? Why am I so upset and angry by reflecting on where we were prior to the pandemic? It really revealed that to be known as the leader of a thriving, successful ministry is really where my treasure was at. And I had to really take some time to pray through, to repent before God, to be challenged by my wife of where our treasure really needs to be. If we are all to take a moment and take a stock of our lives, of what we have cut out, and if we're really brutally honest, even as professing followers of Jesus, Jesus, his kingdom, serving him for his love and glory, has not been our greatest treasure of our lives these past 2 years. I'll be the first to confess that before you all. But that is, as Evan preached even last Sunday, the ultimate call of our lives as God's children and his communally redeemed people. To be reminded that if we have Jesus, we have the greatest treasure of all. Irregardless of circumstances and outward fruit and glowing numbers and accolades and being successful in the metrics that we treasure in our hearts. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not just a few sprinkles of good fortune. Every spiritual blessing has been granted to us because of Jesus. What does that mean? We are recipients of the greatest love the world has ever known. We are part of an indestructible plan instituted, set in motion by God himself that will come to fruition no matter what. We've been blessed with the greatest treasure of all. And we are being transformed daily into the image of Jesus Christ. And we get to serve him, be in his will, and expand the kingdom of God. If that has not been your treasure during these past 2 years. Take time to take a step back into your lives and really ask yourself, then what has been my treasure? The pandemic indeed has revealed what we truly do treasure in our lives, has it not? Growing up as a kid, one of my greatest loves of my life was my Topps baseball card collection, especially from 1977. For those of you that are old enough to remember those years, it was one of my greatest treasures of my entire childhood. I remember walking down to the neighborhood drugstore and gathering all the pennies that I could find, scrounging inside the station wagon and underneath our sofas and underneath the seat cushions, and almost every day buying another pack of Topps baseball cards and chewing that gum. I could still smell it. I could still taste it, and gathering this massive collection of baseball cards. And when I gathered enough, sent away and got the Super Sports Card Locker that is one of my prized possessions, collecting nearly every one of the cards from 1977. For those that know anything about baseball, maybe you could sort some of these cards with me, see if I have anything of great value. I would put these cards underneath my pillow. I would think about it, dream about it. And now I will hold on to it just a little bit longer before I pass this down to my boys, for them to begin to discover the joys of collecting baseball cards. You see, even as a young kid, an 8-year-old kid, no one had to teach me how to treasure things that I love. It flows naturally out of our hearts. My question this morning to all of us is, what would it look like to truly treasure Jesus with all of our hearts this morning? If we were to do that, we would pursue him with all of our being. We'd want to serve him. We want to stay connected to his people by all means possible. We want to build his church, his body. We want to share him with others, our neighbors and friends and family. We'll use our resources and our time and our energy and our gifts to further his causes in this broken and hurting world. And so the question this morning as we get ready to wrap up is, have any of these things that I've just mentioned been left out of your life during the pandemic? Our children, our spouses, our family, our work lives, they are good things, they're important things. But if they have been the treasure of your lives that your heart has been set upon, they will in the end disappoint you when you lose your job, when your marriage goes astray, when your kids don't turn out the way you dream for them to turn out. They will turn around and crush you. Jesus is the only treasure that can continually fulfill you, challenge you, stretch you, grace into your life, his power, his love, his purposes. It's the only treasure that can truly satisfy. And we are reminded, how do we once again begin to treasure him? We look to the gospel. We look and we are reminded, when God looks at us, he says, my precious. And he sent his greatest treasure, his own son, to live the life we could not live, and to die the death we should have died. Do you believe that God calls you his precious? And that he has given his greatest treasure of his son? We're reminded in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Let us return back to his word. Let us, as we hopefully begin to come out of these past 2 years of trial and challenge, to ask ourselves in a transparent way, what has been my treasure these past 2 years? And to look to the cross of Christ and begin to once again confess, Lord, you have not been my treasure. Your causes, your purposes, your people have not been my treasure. But Lord, let me return. Let me realize that you call me your precious. Help me to see the treasure you have poured out upon our lives in giving of your son Jesus to us. And may I once again treasure Jesus. Your plan, your purposes, and your love for my life and for this hurting world. What will be your treasure in 2022? Please join me in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, if we're very honest with ourselves, we have treasured so many other things during these past 2 years. And to be brutally honest, it hasn't been you. We pray that as we look once again to the one, despite of how we lived, calls us your precious. That our hearts will return in repentance and a recommitment to love you above all things. And as we begin to experience that renewal that comes when we do that, may you use us to serve you, to build your kingdom, to pursue you, Lord, and your passion for people. And so examine us once again, Father. Return us back to the one treasure that will not disappoint. We give you thanks, honor, and glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen.